Come on, Tony, give me a beat. I thought you were going to beatbox to that. No? Not a little beatbox? And by the way, I told you this yesterday. I just have to get this quick aside out of the way. My wife listens to NPR in the car when she's not listening to TED XL, but she likes her NPR, right? So whenever she drives my car and I get in the car, oftentimes it's on NPR, National Public Radio. And I hop in the car the other day to just make a quick run up to the store, and they're doing a whole feature on Lottie Dottie by Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh from back like in 85, right? And the whole song was just Slick Rick rapping and Dougie Fresh beatboxing. The whole thing is a 5-minute song, and they said you could play it in the club every time and everybody would sing all the words. So I remember it very clearly back in the day. My college roommate, George Saba, got me going on the Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh back in the day. But just an odd thing I thought to find on NPR, Ryan. You an NPR guy?
Not really.
Okay, I like it. I like talk radio in general.
Yeah, well, so do I.
So there you go. You're in a good spot then, right here on 1010XL.
Thank you for listening.
I just thought Tony might beatbox our way through the next 5 minutes was kind of my point to bring that all together. By the way, I just saw this on the text line. I just opened up the text line driven by Duval Ford. I'm not sure who this is addressed to. It says, "You're a mature person." Of course, they...
Y-O-U-R.
Right, yeah. I'm not even going to get into the grammar aspect because they botched that. I don't know who they're talking to is my point. You're a mature person. It can't be me. I proved you're dumb, and now you want to insult. Wait a minute. Isn't saying you're dumb an insult? If I catch you...
Tell me your was Y-O-U-R-E there.
No. Y-O-U-R.
Okay. Again.
Yeah, I proved you're dumb.
Two.
Right, that's two. If I catch you, I'll teach you about that punk blank blank. Yes. Punk A... MF-er. Right? I think we can all figure out what that means. I don't know who that's addressed to. Please address that to someone. We all share the text line. That's my only point, right? That could be Ryan O'Halloran he's talking to. I don't think so. Could be Hicken or Prosser. Very likely me. I get called dumb all the time and proven as much. All right. Today, question of the day, guys, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealership. So we threw everything. We crumpled it up, threw it out the window. And this trade, the Titans give up a bunch. The Rams give up a bunch to move up and get Tennessee's number one overall pick. This year, the Titans will give up their first pick, their fourth round pick, and their sixth round pick. In return, they will get 2 second round picks, both in the top 50. They will get a third round pick this year and a first and a third next year. Am I correct on that, right? So it's
yes.
A first, 2 seconds, two thirds for a first, a fourth, and a sixth is the haul
two
is
firsts.
What they get. Right. Plus the first rounder that they get dropping back in the first round.
Swap first.
Right. So they swap first. Right. So after the swap of first, let me make this more clear. They get 2 seconds and a third this year. They get a first and a third next year. They also give up a fourth and a sixth rounder this year. And there was a story on SportsIllustrated.com, SI.com today, where they project. Here are 10 potential trades up for the number one pick. They basically went through every team in the top 10, plus they added the Rams in. And they say, well, come on. If the price is this, and the price they quoted was just a little bit less than the Rams actually paid, and they said the price is this, of course, good luck, Tennessee, enjoy Laremy Tunsil, because nobody is giving you this for that. The Rams gave them more today. So the Titans didn't wait 2 weeks out from the draft. They make the deal. Our question of the day is this. Is this a positive for the Jaguars or a negative for the Jaguars? Long term, obviously Tennessee is going to load up with a lot of talent. They don't get their choice of the top talent in this draft, but they're going to load up with a lot of draft picks. So that side could be negative, but you've got to presume the Rams are trading up to get a quarterback. And if you thought the Browns were likely going to go quarterback, then maybe it goes quarterback in the first two picks. Tunsil probably comes off the board in one of those next two. You've got your choice of, it seems like, two of the three premier defenders that we've been discussing. Maybe not Jalen Ramsey, but that would almost assure that Miles Jack, Joey Bosa would be there for you. So short-term, perhaps a benefit from that. So, look, I think we all feel like the Titans won the trade big. We'll discuss our thoughts on the spillover effect for the Jacksonville Jaguars today. But sell us on your point of view, because I have a feeling, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ryan. I think it's a negative for the Jaguars. I think the Titans getting all that much ammo. Now, they may screw it up, but as things stand, not knowing who they're going to take, I would much rather the Titans have stayed at number one and taken Laremy Tunsil, Jalen Ramsey, or whoever they wanted. Mm-hmm.
I agree. I mean, short term, like you said, the Jaguars are probably looking at the board now and said, okay, Cleveland is probably, okay, if they trade out, a quarterback's going number two. Because if it's Cleveland, Philly, et cetera. So you're going to have your pick of everybody but maybe one defender. Okay, that's the short term. In the long term, you got to give John Robinson the benefit of the doubt. You know, you have two ones next year. What it gives them is flexibility. Let's say they covet a player, and so they can move up. John Robinson said that this morning. They got three twos right now. They can move up in the
late. Three twos in the top 50.
Yeah.
Right. They have a lot of flexibility.
Or they can stamp, you know, stay put and get three guys there. So yeah, the Titans obviously think Taylor Lewan is good enough to play left tackle. So they, you know, they moved on. They didn't need to do anything there. They'll probably draft another offensive tackle to play on the right side.
Right. Even if or whoever they take, best man plays left, the odd man out plays right side. They'll get a new starting tackle if they choose to go that way with the 15th pick in the draft.
And I applaud both teams because, you know, say what you want about Tennessee. It's a bold move trading out of one all the way, you know, because down to 15. I applaud the Rams. You know, people say you're going to get fleeced, but at least you're going for it. You recognize, okay, we need that quarterback to become competitive. Been unstable there since Bradford, who wasn't very good anyway. So both teams, I like that. I thought the Jags might have been in play to trade with the Rams, thinking, okay, the Rams can't move up from 15 to 1.
Right. And if one of those quarterbacks that they covet slides to 5, maybe you're in position to get something done.
So you're looking at the Rams thing. They wanted to get ahead of Cleveland. They did that. And they probably thought, okay, we better get ahead of everybody because Philadelphia is obviously doing something.
You look at it this way, Tony. We were talking about last week, if you were the Jags in that position and you were sitting there at 5 and the Rams said, hey, we'll give you the 15th pick and we'll give you those two second rounders in the 40s this year. Would that be enough to get it done? And I think most people said, you know what, it's probably enough.
Yeah.
Maybe not in Dave Caldwell's eyes, but in our eyes, if you were voting for that deal, you'd probably want to do that deal. Well, all Tennessee does is give up the right to select one or two other players that the Jags probably weren't going to have a shot at, and they get all this extra added on to this deal. I can't help but thinking, this is a bit of a gut punch in the long term for Jacksonville.
No, it could potentially be, but again, it comes down to how well they draft here. The Rams didn't get much out of the RG3 trade, and maybe the best player they drafted was Janoris Jenkins, and he's not there after his contract because they ran into a bit of a problem at the end of his rookie deal, so they couldn't even maintain that guy on their own roster, which hurts them going forward. So maybe they've decided, well, 6 bites of the pie didn't work, so let's try 1 and see how that works out for us when it's the biggest bite that we can possibly get. But if the Titans draft well in this thing, then yeah, it becomes a team that should be competitive maybe in 2017 as opposed to having to wait to 2018 or 19 to really watch some of those weapons and pieces around Mariota develop, because he certainly looked like he could be the guy last year when he was on the field for Tennessee, and now you're giving yourself all these darts to potentially throw at trying to improve all those positions in need on that Tennessee roster that, look, a lot of teams, when they're in that rebuild mode, don't have the opportunity to do it that way.
Right.
And Tennessee just found a way to leverage the number one overall pick into potentially having, they have 6 spots right now in the top 76 of this year's draft. They got 5 in the first 3 rounds of next year's draft. That is a lot of collateral when it comes to, and leverage when it comes to the NFL draft for 2 years for the Tennessee Titans.
Even a bad jam will probably get lucky on a few of those picks, you would presume. 6-4-1-10-10-1, a lot of feedback out of you, the Jaguar fans today. How do you look at this deal through a Jaguars perspective? Positive for the Jags, negative for the Jags, and state your case on that. Also, if you want to talk about the schedule release coming out tonight, what do you expect in terms of primetime games for the Jacksonville Jaguars? We can dig into that as well. 6-4-1-10-10, the phone number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. If you're going to curse at me, just address it to me so I know it's me. I'd appreciate that. And also, tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
My sense, my read, and you never know what is actual fact this time of the year. My read always has been that the Cleveland Browns were not taking a quarterback anyway, that they were going in a different direction, that they were open to moving back if they had to, that they didn't feel at this point that a quarterback was the right pick. So for all the people who think that the Rams leapfrogged the Browns, yes, they did in draft order, but I don't think this changes the Cleveland Browns' plans, believe it or not, based on what I've been hearing the last couple of weeks, that the Browns are not inclined to go in that particular direction.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Let's throw a few more qualifiers in there. I firmly believe,
Thanks for the update.
In case it happens, or yet it may not, but it may also happen this way, that I believe that this does not change the the Browns draft plans. How about reporting something? Schefter, is he an analyst or is he a reporter? Isn't he a breaking news guy?
That was
guy?
A bit of an analyst statement there. I will say that if what he said is true, and again, like he said, who knows what is true, or I'll put on my analyst hat because I'm allowed to here on the radio. If what he said is actually true there, then maybe it does help the Jaguars. At least somebody who's going to take a quarterback went to one. Because it certainly still feels like Laremy Tunsil is probably in play for two or three of those teams between themselves and the Jags. Maybe San Diego now. I mean, they're playing in a division with Khalil Mack and some pass rushers out there in the West. So I would think it would have to be a strong consideration for them. And I don't know if they thought Tunsil would even be available to them as of a couple days ago. So maybe it does mean now that there will be a quarterback and left tackle off the board. But it sounds like there's the potential out there that there was never a scenario where two quarterbacks were going in the top.
Has Adam Schefter ever come out and said, I don't think the Browns are taking a quarterback? Until now.
No.
Right? And he says that. Look, that may be the case, Ryan. We've always presumed at least one quarterback is going in the top four. That's kind of been the way we've modeled this. Whether it goes to the Browns or whether somebody trades up and takes one, maybe the Dallas Cowboys, but likely the Browns would be the team. Okay, let's say we were wrong about that. It really doesn't change the math in front of the Jags with those four picks.
Yeah, and if I'm Cleveland, what I'm thinking right now is, okay, my pick is for sale if they've decided they're not going to take a quarterback, because they're even in worse shape than the Titans. They need bodies.
Oh, they're terrible.
So they're waiting for teams in the lower range there, like Philadelphia. Who knows what they're doing?
San Fran, Philadelphia.
Does the price of the second pick go up now for the Browns to trade down? So, I mean, from, I thought that, in the top four, there's going to at least be one quarterback. Now I think that both, I think they're going to go 1-2.
They may, and that would benefit the Jags, at least in terms of who they pick at five this year. There's no question about that. They're not going to draft a quarterback, so that would give them more options. Long term, is it a positive or a negative for the Jaguars? You can weigh in. If maybe the short term supersedes the long term for you. You don't know if Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell are even going to be around. You need to win now. You want to assure yourself of getting that best player. You may take that point of view. I'd like to hear your thoughts on that at 641-1010.
Well, on another angle, Jags draft 38 in the second round.
Right.
What if quarterbacks go 1-2, what you're probably going to see then is a run on a couple guys at the end of the first, which will keep some of those defensive tackles, some of those linebackers on the board for the Jags to take on Friday night.
Yeah, quite possibly right. You might get one extra quarterback in the first round out of this.
And because, like, okay, you figure Lynch is going in the first round. Okay, if you're a team that says, okay, we want to trade into the first round and get that extra year on the rookie contract, do you trade up and take Hackenberg at 29? Do you take Connor Cook in the second round at 31, 32? I think the board may fall a little bit better for the Jags in the second round, too.
That's a really good point, too, because you do get that fifth-year option with the first-round pick that you don't get, so it does behoove you to trade right into the end of the first round if you're thinking about taking a quarterback high in round two.
Which is what the Vikings did with Teddy.
Right. 641-1010. Let's go to Eddie in Orange Park to lead us off today on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Eddie. How are you?
I'm doing great. You guys talked about having a punch into the Jaguar stomach. What about Tennessee trading back up with that boatload of trades to get back to number five to pick up Laremy Tunsil and still be there?
Ain't going
to
happen. Tennessee is not giving that haul of draft picks to a division rival. Will not happen.
But they might give up They might give up 15 in two seconds.
I don't think they'll make any kind of trade that high with the division rival. Where I think Tennessee is going to make their move is they're going to stick at 15. What they're going to do is they're going to use some of those seconds if there's a guy they like, and that's when they'll move into the late first round and they'll find another starter. But, in theory, I think the Jaguars pick still could have some value at five, but I don't think they're in the business of doing business with Houston, Indianapolis, or Tennessee.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's say Eddie was right and they offered the same thing we were talking about with the Rams. Would you do it? Would you move down to 15 for those two second rounders?
Because Hayes Carlisle wrote this a couple times. Is the best scenario for the Jaguars moving down would have been from 5 to 15 and pick up LA's 2 seconds.
Right.
If Tennessee offers you that same deal, then you would take it, but probably not happen.
I think you're looking at a lot more likely scenario where the Tennessee Titans just pick from that next level of offensive tackle. Ronnie Stanley is going to be gone at that point in time, but there are several offensive tackles that are graded out as first rounders. Jack Conklin out of Michigan State. Perhaps Jason Spriggs out of Indiana, Taylor Decker out of Ohio State, all those guys. And Jermaine Afidi, is that how you say it? That, and people say that Seattle's in love with him. I don't know if that's the case or not, but that's what I've heard, that Seattle's in love with him. But those top five guys you often see all coming off the board somewhere in the first round, including Spriggs. Sometimes he floats down into that 30 to 40 range. But if you have a chance to get one of these guys. Now, if Conklin and Decker are off the board, maybe they don't go that way. But you know what? They have a lot of holes, too. So they don't have to get – they have Taylor Lewan to play left tackle. Can they find a right tackle later in the draft? Probably so.
Yeah. And you look at last year, who had Ereck Flowers going ninth.
True.
So, teams, if they like an offensive tackle, they're probably going to overdraft them by 10 to 15 picks. So those guys you mentioned are probably going to go higher than we anticipate.
Tyler, who was it that just tweeted out there here? Was it Matt Miller? Who was it that?
Correct, Matt Miller, Bleacher Report.
Yeah, he tweeted out that he believes that the Rams, the apple of the Rams' eye is Jared Goff.
Absolutely.
Not
his insider sources are saying that, correct.
It does. Look. If you think Wentz is a better player, you got to take the better player. But we don't know if Wentz is a better player. At least I don't. All right, Goff, Wentz, I don't know which one of these guys. I think there's a split among the NFL scouting community on these guys to some degree. It does make a lot more sense to say, hey, here's a Pac-12 quarterback, played in the state of California. He is now the face of the L.A. Rams franchise, more so than, hey, you guys gave up all that so we can come up and get this guy from North Dakota State. He may turn out to be the next Joe Flacco or something along those lines, right? I mean, a guy who played at a smaller school and comes in and Ben Roethlisberger, whoever you want to name, okay? But I think it's an easier sell to say we believe Jared Goff was the guy. We believe that Cleveland liked him. We couldn't take the chance that somebody else liked him more. We had to make that move to number one to go get him. What odds do you give, Ryan? We're kind of guessing here because it's speculative. Matt Miller thinks that's the case. There are other people who said this morning it's definitely Wentz. What do you think?
I ultimately think it's going to be Goff because you have to look at the body of work against the competition. And I would have a hard time. Carson's my guy, fellow North Dakotan. I would have a hard time taking him over Goff.
Have a hard time giving all that up. Yeah. And then taking him with Goff being available to you, right? That to me is the thing. I tend to agree with you. And I know Pete Prisco's talked about this, Tony. We've talked about it since I talked with Maurice Jones-Drew coming out of the combine. He talked with Hugh Jackson, and the impression he got in not so many words from Hugh Jackson was, you think I came to Cleveland to develop a quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years? I want a guy who's ready to play now if we're going to draft one high, and that was Goff as compared to Wentz. It was the belief at that time. That was at the combine. So if Cleveland is sitting there thinking, all right, we really like Goff, we can't control what Tennessee does. Maybe, I wonder if Cleveland ever entertained the notion of trying to flip picks first with them. Maybe they found out the asking price was too much.
Well, then, they signed RG3 to a non-1-year deal. To me, that was a sign, okay, either they are going to take a guy that they feel is nowhere near ready to play, or they're going to wait to take Hackenberg.
Right.
So it's revisionist now, but you go back and now read the tea leaves. Maybe Cleveland isn't enamored with either one of those guys.
Maybe they're not. But you know what? We're all guessing to a degree. I'm sure everyone has heard. So I doubt people, not too many people, are just making things up. You can say anything you want on Twitter, but I got to believe there's an indication when somebody says, hey, I never thought that Cleveland was enamored with a quarterback at all, that you've had that indication. Now, I mean, honestly, we may be in a situation. Maybe Goff goes number one, and then what does Cleveland do with that next pick? I mean, could it be Tunsil? It could be, right? Joe Thomas, there's been rumors that they may try to flip him on draft day.
Yeah.
Not happy being there, as a guy who's basically wasted his career toiling for an also-ran franchise. Maybe they go that way, try to get something for Thomas and replace him there. Maybe they go Jalen Ramsey or Miles Jack.
Maybe, but I think it'd be – it's tough for me to imagine Tunsil getting past San Diego at 3.
I agree with that. Tunsil the Ramsey, though, for San Diego. Ramsey seems high on so many boards.
I get it, but you have how much longer with Phillip Rivers where he can still be productive, and you got him killed last year. He
good
was
point.
Still good, but your offensive line is getting him just absolutely destroyed.
But again, we've always assumed Tunsil goes in the top four, right? We've always assumed it to be Tennessee, and that Cleveland would take a quarterback. So what then if it's quarterback at 1, it's Tunsil at 3, well, unless somebody trades into Cleveland's spot at 2, they're likely taking one of those elite defensive players, you would think. Maybe they take, if they're not taking Tunsil, I doubt they're taking Ronnie Stanley over him. And if Tunsil does go to Cleveland, then I think Ramsey is the highly likely pick, although DeForest Buckner is a consideration for San Diego. My point being, just because these pieces have moved around a little bit, we may end up seeing basically the usual suspects that we've been projecting going in the top four picks, but maybe not to the same teams in the same order.
Yeah, I mean, to me, what changes today is, I think, you could say quarterback 1-2. Somebody tweeted me this was a good point. Dallas at 4 could be a wild card. How about if they go Ezekiel Elliott?
They could.
So, okay.
I don't think they will. But
I don't think they will either, because I think
they signed Alfred Morris.
Yeah, and Darren McFadden was okay last year. He stayed healthy. I think you can get a running back in the second round. But, you know, if this, I'm hoping this is just the start of some stuff, because Cleveland right now, okay, their pick should be up for sale. You know, San Diego, for a long time, I thought, okay, Ramsey replaces Eric Weddle. But I also thought if Tunsil is there, that's a no-brainer because Phillip Rivers is there. So Dallas, Buckner, Bosa, Jack. So,
I mean, usual suspects still, yeah, all in the mix.
I mean, the Jaguars are going to have – I mean, remember like last month we were talking about a doomsday scenario where the first four picks are Tunsil and three defensive players.
Correct.
Well, now that's
– that does not seem like the doomsday will happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a scenario that can happen where the Jaguars – are like, oh my God, who do we pick? There's going to be somebody there.
Right. And here's the thing. I don't know if Cleveland makes a move now, if they do, until draft day. Because if you're Philly, what if you love just one of those quarterbacks? You don't know which one that St. Louis loves right now. Now, maybe St. Louis gets a deal done.
LA.
Right? Or LA. I'm sorry. I'm going to do that for at least another year.
Well, yeah. Like you don't see the contract terms done before the draft. But remember a couple years ago, Grigson came out like a week before the draft and said, we're taking Luck.
Do they not? Are they not allowed to do the contracts anymore?
You don't
with the
need
first
to.
Pick?
You don't need to because it's so slotted.
True, but you could if you wanted to.
Yeah, what I would. What's interesting from the Rams' perspective is, Grigson in 2012, probably week and a half, says, "Hey, we let Andrew Luck know we're picking him because, you know, we just wanted to let him, you know, put that to rest."
Right.
The Redskins had already made the pick for the trade for second. They're going to get one of them. So, if the Rams come out next Thursday, Les Seeden knows Carson Wentz is our guy.
Right, because I doubt they would do that.
Yeah.
And because then you're embarrassing Jared Goff if he's really the guy you want to pick. So they're not going to do that unless that's really the guy. Then maybe in a scenario like that where you're pretty sure who's going number one. But I don't think we'll see another pre-draft trade now until that pick's on the clock, if we get one at all.
No, so I mean, really the draft will start as soon as number two's on the clock.
No question about it. And what's going to happen is commissioner's going to put him on the clock. Then he's going to announce a trade. Coming up, right? He's going to put him on the clock. Then we've got a trade. And, yeah, we knew about the trade 2 weeks ago, Raj. Thanks for playing along. 641-1010, weigh in on this today and weigh in on Twitter and Facebook as well. A positive or a negative for the Jags, this trade between the Titans and the Rams. The Jags seemingly more likely to get one of the guys they covet at number five, but the Titans getting a haul of draft picks both for this year and next as well. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hara, and Fat Tony here with you as Jaguars today on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010 XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, tomorrow David Garrard joins us in studio. He was just up in the New England area, I believe it was. Might have been New York. Not 100% sure. I don't keep track of his whereabouts, Tony. I don't have a tracer device on him. But he was up there as part of a study of post-playing days players, retired players, it'd be a more elegant way of saying it, to test their, you know, health and get different baselines and just kind of more along the lines of trying to determine, you know, what the physical impact of the NFL is on these young studs that come into the league and what kind of shape they leave the league in. We'll talk to Dave about his experience up there this past week. But today with Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union, at Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. Obviously the big news of the day is the trade, the Tennessee Titans moving down from the first pick in the draft to the 15th pick in the draft. Titans, in addition to the swap of picks, pick up 2 seconds and a third this year, a first and a third next year. They also send their fourth and sixth round picks to the L.A. Rams. I said it, L.A. Rams.
You got it.
Hey, the L.A. Rams will get the number one overall pick and a fourth and a sixth rounder this year. So today we're asking you, positive or negative, the outcome today of this draft for the Jags. And we're a little bit split on the social media today, and that's what we try to do, give you a question that has a couple of reasonable alternatives. A lot of people focusing on you know, the positive side, what this means for the Jags with the fifth overall pick. For me, the net is a negative because Tennessee gets so much more firepower in their arsenal over the next couple of years.
Yeah, it took me 44 minutes to mention this, but one thing the Titans have going against them is
Mike Mularkey.
Is their head coach.
that's come up a few times on social media this morning.
Well, good. you know, it's great if you have all these like young players, but this is a coaching staff, half of which was unemployed the last several years. So, you know, they wanted a lot of experience on the staff. But
I mean, that was going to be the case anyway, yeah. Ryan, right? I mean, Tennessee was going to have Mike Mularkey for the next couple of years at least, right, yeah. After re-signing him. So, you know, at least now it would appear he would have better raw material to work with, you know? You or I could make these picks, and he would have a better roster than he would have had they not made this deal.
Sure. Plus, you know, you got a better quarterback. But
true.
But, you know, Tennessee now has become, you know, they were going to be a subplot of the draft week because it's a new GM. They have the top pick. They have a high pick in each round. Now they're even more of a story because, okay, they have all these extra picks. Are they going to be a mover or shaker, or are they going to be, after making this bold move, I think the right move is for Robinson to be conservative and stay put and just stockpile assets.
Yeah.
And because, you've made your big move. Now he's probably just going to sit tight and add a lot of pieces.
Boy, it really depends. I think a lot will depend on what is available to them at that 15th pick. If those next two offensive tackles after the top two are already gone, I think if one of them is there, one of the top four, I think that's the direction we'll see Tennessee go. And then the question will be, what's the fall off really from Tunsil to Conklin?
Well, and it puts them in a position where, because they are a team that has as many needs as they do, if they feel like there's not an offensive tackle there available to them at 15 that they really love, then they have the flexibility to either wait for it in the second round, because you got three picks, they're in the top handful of picks in the second round waiting on you, or if you need to move back into the back end of the first round to go get the tackle that you don't take at 15, if you feel like the value is more at 28, 29, well, you can afford to get back in there, and it's not going to cost them too much to get there, and it allows them the flexibility at 15 to say, well, okay, let's take Laquon Treadwell, because we need a receiver too. Like, it gives them that kind of flexibility that no other team in this draft is going to have.
No doubt. I'll put it this way. If the Jags had pulled this off, I would be giddy for them right now. I'd be like, wow, are you kidding me? They got this. Now, obviously, they didn't own the number one overall pick, but you know what I'm saying. Something comparable to this, trading down from, say, 5 to 15. Here's some on the text line driven by Duval Ford. I'll go around the table with you guys. The first one, I'm going to go back to 10:09 this morning. Aside from playing against somewhat better competition, how is Blake Bortles a better prospect than Carson Wentz is now? Ryan, what do you say to that?
I think Blake's a better prospect.
Not now. Like, when he was coming out 2 years ago, was Blake, in your eyes, how does he compare to the perception of Carson Wentz right now?
Well, I think Blake was more highly regarded by me and by a lot of other people because they had that Fiesta Bowl against Baylor.
Right.
He went up to Penn State and had a good game. Did they win?
I
can't remember.
I think they did beat Penn State.
Yeah, okay. So there was a greater body of work at the level of competition for Bortles. And so, you know, I definitely think there was a greater buzz about Bortles than there is Goff.
About Goff. Yeah, Goff is weird because Goff hasn't been the guy with the greater buzz. I think Wentz has had more buzz, maybe because of the mystery of playing at North Dakota State a little bit. And I think if we're going to bet right now, I would put a nickel on Goff ahead of Wentz with the number one overall pick. And how much do we even know about him, you know? I mean, we know. We've seen with the body of work. But, all right, here's one who said on the text line, it's a positive for the Jags, this deal, because Tunsil or Ramsey might be there. Let's get a little unconventional here. Let's say quarterback goes with the number one pick. Let's say then they like Miles Jack in Cleveland or Joey Bosa, one of those two. And then San Diego goes Ramsey, and then Dallas goes with the other defender. So the top three are off the board with a quarterback. Tunsil would seem like the clear best available player. What do the Jags do?
Entertain
trades, obviously. Well,
I think that would be scenario one. Okay, who below them?
No one gives you an offer.
No, I'd say I would take Tunsil. We had this conversation way back in February,
right.
March. This was never thought it would happen. That's why you bring him in last week.
The door's open, at least, to a possibility. No, I'm saying it's likely yet, but you think Tunsil would be the play in that scenario?
I think so, and, you know, at the league meetings, talking to some Pittsburgh media, Beecham was adamant, I'm not going anywhere where they even are going to ask me to play guard. Well, you sign the deal, now you can do whatever you want.
Right. And it's a one-year deal for all intents and purposes until and unless he proves to be healthy, plays well enough for them to pick up the option.
Yeah, so it would be fascinating to see what would happen because all they're about is the culture and not upsetting the apple cart. And I don't, you know, I would take Tunsil because you never thought he'd be there, but it would be a fascinating 15 minutes.
Same scenario, Tony. The top three defensive players are off the board plus a quarterback. Jags cannot get a trade partner. What do you do?
So you're looking Tunsil or
Buckner,
Hargraves, Buckner. Yeah. That kind of thing. I think that you have to think long and hard about Tunsil. I think if you brought him to Jacksonville, he's the best left tackle on your roster from day one. You have Beecham again. He's only under control for 1 year if that's the way you want to go with that. Really, Jokel, it's kind of the same deal at this point in time. Maybe two.
They'd at that point in time, you trade Luke Jokel for a bag of peanuts.
Right. So look, I think if you get stuck in that situation, then yeah, Tunsil becomes a serious consideration unless you really do like Hargraves that much. I personally don't like Hargraves that much, but I don't know necessarily how they feel about him in the building. If they've been thinking the entire time that it is four defenders in this group and Hargraves is that fourth defender or maybe ahead of Boser, we don't know where he is on their particular board. But for me, if I got stuck in that situation, yeah, Tunsil would probably be the pick.
I got to believe he'd be the highest graded player on their board, and it would be the likely pick for me too. And all of a sudden, now you're stockpiling a surplus maybe of good to outstanding offensive line talent on this football team.
I'd hate to not help my defense at five.
I hear you, but that's, again, that may be the nightmare scenario right now. I'm not saying it's the likely scenario, but who knows? I wouldn't have woken up this morning thinking it was likely Tennessee would get what they got for the number one overall pick. So funny things happen as far as that goes. All right, coming up this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL with Ryan O'Halloran, with Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you this week by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Not a lot historically that happened, although maybe we'll look back at the blockbuster trade where the Rams really fleeced the Titans in future years. Let's hope that's the case.
Yeah.
But, birthdays for this date. I always mention him when his birthday comes up. Stan Humphries, NFL quarterback. This is the kind of buzzard's luck I had playing the USA Today salary cap fantasy football game back in the day, Tony, where you actually mailed your lineup changes in.
Nice.
Or you phoned them in, and then you got your official results in the mail, like on Wednesday every week. Stan Humphries 1 week just needed a quarterback as a salary cap deal. He was cheap, coming off a decent game. We picked him up, and then he picked up a concussion that week and never played again. Literally never played another snap in the National Football League. Nice job, me. Max Unger, born on this date in 1986. He turns 30. The two-time Pro Bowl center was a centerpiece of the Jimmy Graham deal, where New Orleans sent Graham to Seattle. Unger and a first-round pick coming back to the Saints. And also, happy birthday, Joe Hayden, former Florida Gator and a two-time Pro Bowler in his own right. By most accounts, had a bit of a down year this year, but still plenty of time to rebound at the age of 27. That is this date in football history. It's brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. If you have a snore in the family, check into the Somnimed Custom Fit Mouth Guard. You can solve that problem. Cosmetic work in the market for a family dentist. Call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, the big news in the NFL, pretty obvious today. The Tennessee Titans have traded the number one overall pick in the upcoming NFL draft. The first round takes place 2 weeks from tonight for a haul to the now Los Angeles Rams. Titans are getting the Rams' first round selection this year. That would be 15th overall, and both of the Rams' second round picks, 43rd and 45th in this year's draft, plus the Rams' third round pick this year, which is 76th overall. The Titans will also receive the Rams' first and third round picks next year. The Rams receive the number one overall pick from the Titans, as well as the Titans' fourth and sixth round picks this year. In essence, Tennessee now owns six of the first 76 picks in this year's draft and has five picks in the first three rounds next year. Johnny Manziel's well-known agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has issued an ultimatum to his client: either get treatment or he will no longer represent him. Rosenhaus told ESPN's Adam Schefter, quote, "I have terminated the standard representation with Johnny Manziel. in the hopes of helping him get the treatment I believe he needs. The NFL has announced that the 2016 NFL regular season schedule will come out tonight at 8 p.m., so set your TV viewing schedule accordingly, and the New England Patriots have released 2014 first-round pick Dominic Easley out of the University of Florida, an injury-plagued first couple seasons in his career. Some thoughts that maybe both knees shot for that guy. Some of the reports coming out on him, maybe an off-field issue, but no one can confirm if that is actually true coming out of New England. We do know he is no longer a member of the New England Patriots, and anybody in the league can sign him now.
Yes, we haven't and probably won't spend a whole lot of time on Johnny Manziel today for obvious reasons. It's been superseded, although most people would agree that I'm one of the least nice people at this radio station. You know, just probably heart of coal would be a good way to describe it. I think it was Dan Hicken this morning, though, Ryan, who said, he feels sorry for Johnny Manziel. I don't feel sorry for him at all. I really don't.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. You're cool. I'm drunk.
Guy was raised in a life of privilege, had everything he wanted, had every opportunity he wanted, used that platform to earn himself an opportunity to play in the National Football League. He has a lot to get his life in order for, a lot of incentive to do it. So many people have pointed it out. I mean, I don't know. You got a guy to me, and I get that addiction can be a very difficult thing to deal with, but in the end, man, you know, he's making a lot of bad choices and throwing away even if it's not going to be a blockbuster Hall of Fame career, I think he's good enough to stick around in the league for a decade. You know, whether he's a superstar or not, whether it's a backup or a starter, he could play the game he supposedly loves for a long time. And I think he's quite frankly pissing it away right now.
I mean, a couple of people say, well, Drew Rosenhaus has a moral compass. I don't think so. Drew probably picked him up last month thinking he'd have him on a roster by now.
Right.
But Rosenhaus needs to worry about the draft now.
Right.
So he doesn't have time to worry about Manziel. So
I love ball.
Just another chapter in that saga. I want to play, since you're looking at a mock draft, I'm going to plug Jacksonville.com.
Please do.
Hayes Carlion put up his updated mock with the trade.
With the trade? Oh, with I like trade. That. Yeah, do tell.
So I tweeted out. It's on Hayes' Twitter. He's got Wentz going to L.A. at 1, Ramsey to the Jaguars at 5, and like we were talking about earlier, Tennessee at 15. He has them taking Taylor Decker.
Ramsey to the Jaguars at 5. Give us the top 5 for Hayes,
five,
please.
Wentz, Goff to Cleveland, Tunsil to San Diego, Bosa to Dallas. And I like his Bosa thing is he basically would take over the Greg Hardy role on that defensive line. So, and then Ramsey.
Start quick and fade with that.
that role. Go out with a punch. And then Ronnie Stanley to Baltimore at 6. Paxton Lynch, San Francisco 7, Buckner to Philly at 8, Miles Jack, Tampa at 9, Jack Conklin to the Giants at 10.
By the way, if that comes to pass, Paxton Lynch is like, yeah, man. Thank you, Rams. Thank you, Rams.
I was going to say, you look at the big winners today, he's one of them.
No question about it.
Okay, because a quarterback is going to get overdrafted, but he was probably thinking, yeah, maybe I won't last past L.A. at 15. Now you may go top 10.
Right.
Which means
top 7.
You know, now you're really looking at that guaranteed 20, 25 million.
Yeah. Hayes had Wentz, Goff, first two picks in that particular order, which may come to pass. I think it could certainly. Is it more likely this moment that Jalen Ramsey's a Jaguar than it was 2 hours ago? Yes, I would say.
Yeah. I say yes.
Right. It's right. What percentage? I don't know. I still think it's unlikely. I think it's still more likely that he's not than he is, but it's maybe a little bit more likely. So you can factor that in today if you're answering the question of the day. Is it a positive or a negative, this overall picture for the Jags coming out of this? Titans get a haul of draft picks, so a division rival will get theoretically stronger as they go. But that number 5 pick, your options look to be a little bit better. Something else we've been discussing a little bit, and particularly off air, but we don't have any idea really how Dave Caldwell feels about Miles Jack and the knee situation, right? And I don't know how anyone could be 100% comfortable with it. He's supposed to get the medical recheck in the next couple of days up in Indianapolis. But it's been very kind of hemming and hawing about whether or not he's going to run a 40. I would suspect that I think the great likelihood is that Miles Jack gets a medical recheck. If they say he looks like he's on pace, that's it. That's all we're going to know about this guy. Ryan, how much of a red flag is it if we don't see him do more than he's already done during the draft process?
Well, I think his injury is a red flag. He had surgery early October. We're now mid-April, and he still hasn't been willing to do any activities running. So that would be a concern. I'll preface this by saying I don't have anything against Miles Jack as the player, but to me, if it's between Jack and Ramsey, to me it's a no-brainer because you know Jalen Ramsey's healthy. I'm sure Jack and the Jaguars had some conversations when he was in town last week in terms of, okay, where you're at, when will you be ready, et cetera. Medical recheck is big. But
well, how does that go from Miles Jack's standpoint in that conversation? Fine.
Fine. Great.
You know, I'm going to be good.
What are the rules of the visit? Can he be looked at by training staff? Can he be, you know, poked and prodded?
Right.
So, and I look at it, and this is, a lot of people will say, well, this is crazy. If I'm the Jaguars, I'm taking a healthy body because, you know, you took a healthy body last year who ripped his knee up. Total freak injury. I get it. But you need to take a guy that you know will be ready from the hop. And if it's a, if both those guys are there, I would take Ramsey.
Boy, it's so many permutations now on what may happen. I still think, and in that one, Hayes had the Cowboys taking Bosa, and I get it, to replace Greg Hardy in that lineup. And you can always use pass rush, but there have been so many reports that Ramsey is the apple of the Cowboys' eye. And they may be wrong. I do think now, I think it's more likely that the Chargers go Tunsil than they would have been that they go DeForest Buckner with Ramsey on the board in another scenario. I may be wrong, but that's just the sense I get that they may go that direction. If Tunsil's staring them in the face, they may say, we get a chance to get the best player in this entire draft. A lot of permutations to how this may work out. By the way, all the NFL.com mock drafts need updating. Hayes Carline's on the job, baby.
No doubt.
For Jaguar or
look,
for Jacksonville.com.
Basically, there was zero chance if Tennessee was picking number one that there are two quarterbacks going into the top four. Zero chance of that happening if Tennessee stays at number one. Now that it's L.A. in there with Cleveland still picking second and maybe what it forces somebody else's hand to do, if Cleveland doesn't like a quarterback, it may force San Francisco or Philadelphia, especially, who's picking behind San Francisco, which would be the next two teams in line to go get a quarterback, to make the move to get one of those two guys if they really do like them. And there is talk that it doesn't sound like it. Mike Florio just put an article up on Pro Football Talk talking about whether or not LA is going to make it clear what their intention is to do with the number one pick. And he basically has a theory that they're going to do the NFL a solid and not put it out there until draft night so that there is some intrigue as to what they're doing with that number one overall pick, considering how hard Goodell has pushed for the NFL to get back to LA and backed Kroenke getting the team out there. So maybe we won't really know until draft night. Maybe in league circles, though, they'll have a pretty good idea.
Right, but they want the plausible deniability, yeah, suspense build.
And it sounded like it was more, they like the NFL, it sounded like, didn't even want them to announce the trade until the night of the draft. But Tennessee said, what if we want to move? Like, what if we want to use our picks to, as collateral to do something else in the upcoming draft? You're not going to allow us to do that, and they got the trade announced.
What if the Rams change their mind?
Right.
Right? What if Goff or Wentz tears his knee up or does something like that? Tyler?
Jenny Vrentis of the MMQB posted an article about the medical rechecks going on in Indy on Friday, and she talked to Miles Jack, and this is what he had to say about the recheck. The knee is no longer something I'm worried about. I'm very excited to end all doubt and any questions about it. I actually can't wait. I wish I could fast forward to it right now and get it out of the way. I understand teams are investing a lot of money into me, and they just want to make sure that if they're going to invest that much, that I'm fully healthy. Hopefully this can kind of clear everyone's head and just look at me as a football player, not a guy that's coming off of a knee injury.
Well, as you said a minute ago, Miles Jack is probably saying, knee's fine.
My knee is better than it was before I tore my meniscus.
I've just been a little tired.
That rehab has really strengthened it. We got to hear what he had to say, but what is he going to say in this scenario?
Yeah, and piggyback off Tony's point about they didn't want to announce the trade. Well, now Tennessee can operate. I mean, they could be going to work out guys now who aren't even first-round picks.
Absolutely.
Well, if they had announced a trade, why are they working out this guy? He's not even in the top 30. So do the trade now. It's because at the end of the day, it's not about you, Roger. It's about the teams preparing the pick.
Look, are you going to tune in? If this happened, this would have happened within the first 5 minutes of the pick being on the clock, right? If they had waited 2 weeks.
Sure.
How many more people are going to tune in those 5 minutes? You're either tuning in for the start of the draft. How are you? What are you going to be on Twitter, monitoring Twitter? I wonder if anything interesting happens and makes me go take a look at the draft. This, I would think, makes more people watch a draft.
People who watch the draft, watch the draft.
Now,
that's just the way it is.
Instead of with Tennessee, you would have had, all right, does anyone trade up? Okay, I get it. People may tune in for that. But now people are going to be saying, well, is it quarterback? What exactly happens? I don't know. To me, there's going to be, for the next several days at least, all the talk is going to be about this big blockbuster deal that went down, and I think it helps hype the draft a little bit.
No doubt about it. And honestly, there was a story out this morning, too, talking about the timeline of when this trade was announced. It actually got done last night, but the Los Angeles Rams didn't want it to get announced because of what was going on across town with Kobe.
That's a good point.
And they didn't want it to go head-to-head with Kobe Bryant. They decided to steal that thunder the next morning.
Right. Well, and that's fine the next morning. I don't know if it would have stolen the thunder from Kobe. I mean, it would have been interesting, but at the same time, it would have not had the full impact I think it's having on his fan base, because, trust me, there are a lot of people paying a lot of money to go see Kobe. People, we might not care nationally, the Lakers stink, it's Kobe's last game, whatever, great, he got 60. They were lining up as deep as many people as they could have got in there last night.
They would
have
put the get-in price?
Over $1,000.
$1,000, yeah.
On average, right? And that means the high end was stratospheric. It was ridiculous. All right, so you want to get in, 641-1010. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. We'll get back to some of your texts on this today. The question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships is the trade between the Titans and the Rams, and we'll go through the details again if you're just tuning in coming up, but is the trade the Titans getting a boatload of picks, but now a lot more likely that one, if not two, quarterbacks go ahead of the Jaguars, a positive for the Jags or a negative for the Jags? Weigh in on Twitter, on Facebook, on the text line, on the phone lines at 641-1010, however you want to do it. With Ryan O'Howard and Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
To the Jacksonville Jaguars, I thank you. I thank you, Tim. I thank you, Shaq Harris. I thank you, Jack Del Rio. I thank you, Gene Smith. I thank you for believing in me. I thank you for believing in the guy from Bethune-Cookman. To all the Jaguar fans, to the organization, to the Jacksonville community, I, Rasheen Mathis, wants to say thank you. I love you. It's not over. It's just a new chapter in my life. And as God lead me, I will try to lead this community.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Rasheen Mathis retires yesterday. Long ceremony for him, and got a little bit emotional with that, and that's fine. Ryan, I know you've been here for every year of the Jaguars' history. On the defensive side of the ball, though, how many guys leap to mind for you that have been better, had better Jaguar careers on that side of the football?
Well, I think he's the best in team history.
Best defensive player overall. I agree with you.
I wrote a week ago Sunday how he should be in the pride of the Jaguars sooner rather than later.
Think it'll happen?
Probably eventually, because you can't have – I mean, you figure, okay – Maurice is going to get in.
Offense, right?
Coughlin's going to get in as soon as he is retired. So, I mean, the guy has twice as many interceptions as the next closest. He has 30 picks, made a Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
So,
was an All-Pro one year.
Yeah, helped him win a playoff game. I think he's done enough. The body work is there to be in the ring of pride. But he was here. His last year was my first year here. I found him be very helpful to me.
Outstanding to work with.
Yeah, and when things weren't going well, he would point out to say, okay, these are why things aren't going well. What has to be gratifying for him is when the Jaguars decided not to re-sign him, a lot of people thought his career was over, and when he got three more years out of Detroit, so he should be very proud of 13 years.
And started the majority of that time up in Detroit as well. 641-1010, we'll get back to the defensive back group here in a minute. We want to get your thoughts on Aaron Colvin's suspension coming up, Ryan, but let's get Andrew in Arlington at 641-1010 next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Just want to say this was the best news the Jaguar fans could get. Tennessee Titans giving up a game changer at one. The two things I didn't want to see the Jaguars face twice a year is Laremy Tunsil or Jalen Ramsey. So the fact that Tennessee gave that up and probably got a bevy of good solid picks, but it just hopefully means one more game changer that we don't have to line up Fowler or Allen Robinson across. So I'll take your thoughts. I'll see you here.
All right. Hey, look, that's a legitimate point of view to have.
I mean, especially with the Tunsil pick, because if Titans would have taken him, okay, that's him and Fowler.
Right.
For the foreseeable future.
And Luan flipping to the other side. It's a solid pair.
Yeah, so that would have been good. You know, as from the short term, like we're talking about, if it helps the Jaguars get the guy they want, which we won't know until they pick, then that's a benefit.
There certainly, I think that's the way, how you got to weigh it, Tony. Short term, may benefit the Jags, right? I mean, because even if you draft all these guys this year, it doesn't mean they're making a major impact on Tennessee this season. They're not getting their choice of anyone in this draft, and the Jags may have a better chance to get their guy. But long term, and as people are pointing out, hey, look, the Titans could screw up a lot of these picks. Mike Mularkey's their coach. He could screw up coaching them. All that's true, but you got to figure, at least I do, that they're not going to whiff on all these picks. And no matter who the coach is, he's going to have better raw material to work with.
Look, they got more shots to fire than they had just a few hours ago. So from that perspective, yeah, look, I get it. They're giving up the number one overall pick, so they don't get their favorite player in this draft. It means that the Los Angeles Rams get their favorite player in this draft. But it doesn't. We don't know how it's going to shake out for them at 15 yet. We don't know if they're going to get a player at 15 that they liked almost as much as they liked the guy at 1, whether that was Laremy Tunsil or whatever offensive tackle happens to become available to him. We talk every year about how much just a crapshoot the NFL draft is. And even in the first round, in the top 5, top 10, you're talking about a prospect where maybe teams are successful with their picks if you're talking about the expectations you put upon a player to be a Pro Bowl-level player when you're picking them in the top 10. It comes around about 50% of the time that you're actually getting that type of player with that pick. And the number only goes down more and more and more and more as you go throughout the draft. Even picking number one overall doesn't necessarily mean you're getting the guy. I mean, Jamarcus Russell was a number one pick. It doesn't mean he was worthy of being the number one pick or was the best player in that NFL draft. It means you have more shots at getting a guy or two guys as opposed to just taking it all with one. Maybe you feel better about the one than you do about the 5 or 6, but it's a lot better for a team that is in the middle of trying to rebuild a roster to be able to fire 5 or 6 times as opposed to once at a left tackle, especially for a team that, look, they have a guy at left tackle that they drafted in the first round a couple years ago that they're okay with him being their left tackle. Maybe they are more comfortable going and getting a right tackle. Maybe they were the whole time and were just put in a position at number one overall where the value for them was going to be Laremy Tunsil, and now they don't feel like they're constricted to that.
That could be.
It just shows you is if you hit on a quarterback, you can do so many other things.
Yeah.
And that's what the Rams are banking on. Right, they believe that one of these quarterbacks is the guy.
Yeah.
That can, and look, I get it. Case Keenum, he's not the guy. Right, they don't have much at quarterback. They have arguably the worst quarterback position in the league right now. Denver in the mix. I mean, there are very few teams as bad as the Rams were at the quarterback position and are until they execute this pick. It doesn't mean that it'll work. But Ryan, Tony and I didn't spend a ton of time on Monday talking about Aaron Colvin, although we did address it. I think that's part of the reason why sports leagues and businesses in general like to put out bad news in a press release late on Friday afternoon because they're going to miss several news cycles, and it feels like it happened so long ago, six days ago. Now, this had been in the wind a little bit, but Aaron Colvin's going to miss the first 4 games of the season, okay? I believe that the Prince of Mukamara signing may have been impacted by this, but how much does this impact the Jags on the field, and does this impact any of their draft plans in your mind?
Well, at the time, before this trade of draft picks, I said, okay, this brings corner into play. What would they do if Ramsey wasn't there? And I thought maybe that comes in the Hargraves and people say, well, it's 4 games. He'll be back. 4 games is a quarter of the season on a staff that needs to win.
Correct.
So you have to act like he's not going to be suspended 4 games, takes another 2 or 3 to get back up to speed. By then, you're halfway through the season. I thought Hargraves might have been under consideration at 5 because you need help at corner. Mukamara can't be trusted to get through a full season, and Ramsey is off the board. Now, with this trade, if Ramsey's there, I think that's another reason why to take him over Jack, because he's going to come in, he's going to play right away. Whereas Miles Jack, you're going to have to create a role for him in year one, and you don't know how healthy he's going to be.
Right. For me, I just don't see Hargraves being worth the 5th pick in the draft. I may not have the same feeling as Dave Caldwell.
Well, then would you be reaching to take Vernon Hargraves at 5 if Ramsey's off the board? Yes. But at that point, do you say, okay, best player available or need?
I think for me, personally, and I don't know what Dave Caldwell will think, but I think I take best player available because I think there are enough corners in this draft that I really feel like I want to address that position. I can get one in the 2nd, maybe even the 3rd round, because I shouldn't need him to come in and start right away on this football team. And if I can get a guy that I like in round 3, that has the profile of developing into a future starter. I think I'd rather go that way. Hey, it's never perfect. You're gambling a little bit, guessing on what's going to be available. Here's a few. Let me just rip them off on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Rams are idiots because Wentz is no Peyton. They'll be paying for that for the next 10 years. This will hurt the Jags. Of course, that's assuming they go Wentz, Goff, Wentz, whatever. It could be the same thing. Here's one that says, sign Dominique Easley and draft Miles Jack. Dominique Easley, one of two things, or maybe a combination of them, right? Either the knees are as bad as some reports indicated yesterday, because he tore both ACLs in college, okay, each ACL. And he struggled to get on the field consistently in New England in his couple of years there. So I read one item yesterday after the release that said the knees are shot and they're never going to get better. They're like, at the best they are going to be right now, it's going to be just downhill from this point. Or there's been a lot of speculation. Could he have done something off the field that we don't know about yet, because this is a pretty, you know, first round pick from just 2 years ago that you're giving away. Either scenario, if the Patriots are letting a guy go for off the field issues, or they're letting a guy, a former first round pick, recent first round pick, go over knee concerns, I mean, how eager would you be to bring in Dominique Easley, regardless whether you're the Jags or any other team?
I wouldn't be eager. I'd let him sail through waivers and then maybe,
sail through waivers, right?
I mean, the health concerns, there's a potential lawsuit coming up. Locker room cancer has been floated out. To me, it'd be hands-on.
Yeah, because if you pick him up off of waivers, you have to assume that first-round contract. I would be surprised if anybody puts in a waiver claim. Here's one that says, I don't give a poop how many picks the Titans have. They still have Malarkey as a coach.
Okay? I did not write that text.
No, because you wouldn't have said poop. Actually, that's been expressed a few times today, but Ryan agrees with that for the most part. Here's another one that says, this is horrible for the Jags. I'd almost be happier with Jack, Ramsey, and Bosa all being gone than the Titans getting so many picks. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and again, so an NFL GM is not going to brick on that many picks. I tend to agree with that point of view. Then, the very next one, overall, slightly good news for the Jags.
Sure.
We need to win this year. This trade helps us out there. Yes, it gives the Titans a lot for growth over the next 3 to 5 years, but I think another losing season in Jacksonville will bring a new regime, which would be a bigger step backwards than the Titans getting better, and that's definitely an interesting way of looking at it. I don't think, you know, for the Jags, it may help the Titans short-term as well, because, all right, you could have had Tunsil. Now let's say you have Taylor Decker instead of Tunsil, plus instead of a 4th and 6th round pick, you've got 2 seconds and a third that you didn't have before. That can help them in the short term as well as the 3 to 5 year projection. You're picking guys in those picks in the second round. They got to be looking at it, starters coming in. Now, whether they're immediate starters or starters in very short order.
I mean, the Titans need help at defensive tackle. This is a strong defensive tackle.
Big time draft for that.
And I think they need big time help receiver. And this is not a high-end receiver draft, but in that sweet spot, there could be a run of guys in the second round or late first like Treadwell.
And you got Doriel Green-Beckham there, obviously. You have Kendall Wright. Who am I forgetting?
Harry Douglas is an older guy.
Right. I mean,
Hunter is a second-round pick.
He's been there for like 4 years and has never been able to put it together.
Broke his ankle last year.
Right. But even before, I mean, he's never really made.
He flashes.
Right, for a game.
Yeah.
Right. It's never had like a good month, consistent month in the National Football League. So definitely could be a position they look at. Another one on the text line, I think for the Rams, this trade was partially motivated by their move to Los Angeles and their desperate attempt to generate interest and light a fire underneath their fickle L.A. fan base. I think there could be business considerations. I would hope that nobody has given up that much capital just to say, hey, look at this, because in the short term, you're going to sell tickets in the short term. And a new franchise comes to town. They're not bored of you yet. And, boy, you better be confident that that guy is more than just a buzz creator. He better be good, because that buzz will wear off the first time he goes out there and throws 4 picks, you know. So I think there could be a slight consideration to that. Hey, we're starting fresh. And as somebody else pointed out, who felt like this is a negative for the Jags, is just Jeff Fisher screwing us over one more time. As the Rams make that move and loading up his former team with draft picks as well. All right, we'll take a break here. 641-1010 if you want to get in on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Ryan O'Halloran. We'll take a look at the question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Is the trade between the Titans and the Rams a net positive or a net negative for the Jacksonville Jaguars and why. We'll share your thoughts with all of you out there in the audience coming up next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I think the picks really, I mean, it referred to them as currency. It allows us to really move up and down the draft. I would say this doesn't really knock us out of moving back up. It doesn't knock us, and it doesn't mean we're going to. It gives us options. We want to have multiple options and multiple plays, if you will, that we can go to make this football team better.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, there you go. Titans and the Rams getting a deal done. Draft picks, John Robinson, the GM of the Titans, saying they are currency. They are currency. They're great currency. I'd love to have that currency. I'd be so excited if the Jags had the pick hole that the Tennessee Titans have. Why is it when the Jags, I get it, they haven't had the number one overall pick, and the one year they had the number two was considered an extremely weak draft. They never seem to get anywhere close to this kind of offer, though, right? You hear about, like, they wanted to, you know, like, was it Buffalo wanted to come up and get Sammy Watkins the year they drafted Bortles, but we didn't want to take a chance. But the offer, as I recall, wasn't anywhere in the ballpark, and it wasn't as big a jump, right? It wasn't a 14-spot jump, but, man.
It wasn't a 14-spot jump to get you out of where you think you're taking your franchise quarterback.
True.
That's a different scenario than where Tennessee is. They've had it's something the Jaguars haven't been able to have in their first round picks is, all right, we're pretty set at quarterback, so let's just go see what we can get for this spot. Like, they just haven't had that, and last year there was no quarterback left at number three that anybody's going to jump up to go get. They just haven't been in a position where we're comfortable enough at quarterback that the teams that want to move up and get one have to come to us to play ball. Tennessee found themselves in that situation because they took Mariota last year.
And the key word that Robinson used was options, because you remember 2 years ago the Jags had two fives and two sixes? Two fours and two fives.
Something.
And Dave Caldwell turned that into a second round pick, Allen Robinson.
And a third in Linder.
Yeah. So, and that was, I mean, that was minuscule currency.
Right.
And look what he produced.
And those were
that.
key players.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the draft that saves this regime.
Right. It could be. And anybody who's ranking the roster would rank both of those guys as top 10, if not top 5 players. I mean, Linder, it's a little difficult. Yeah, I think you got to go on word of mouth on him a little bit more, mm-hmm. Just because he didn't play much last year.
And what all these picks help Tennessee with is why the Jags helped them with Linder is there could be a run on a position that you need, and you're not picking for another 10, 12 spots. You got to get up and get a guy. Now the Titans have some equity to move up.
Tony, make us all feel good before we get to the fan feedback spotlight. Hmm. And do tell if you've got it still up in front of you.
I do.
The Rams, when they got three firsts and a second. Well, they swapped first, and they got two additional firsts and a second.
They moved around a lot.
Right. But in doing so, right, they used those picks. They traded around. And ultimately, the haul of players that they got, where they started with those three first-rounders and a second-rounder, resulted in what?
Here's what they got in the end. Janoris Jenkins.
Good player.
Who was a good player, but no longer with the Rams.
Right.
Greg Robinson, who was a total bust.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Brockers, who's a good player. Isaiah Pede.
Bust.
Bust. Rokivious Watkins. Whoever that is. Alec Ogletree.
Good player.
Good player. Stephen Bailey, who...
It was just okay even before he got shot.
And Zach Stacy.
Bust.
That's what they got out of that trade. So it is possible that even if you are given all these opportunities in the NFL draft, it is a crapshoot.
Rams could have just drafted RG3.
They could have.
What would have happened? You know, I mean, you don't know. You can't predict. I mean, he tore his ACL, but he wouldn't have been playing in that game at that particular time. Who knows?
Well, I think he would have been handled more humanely by the Rams coaching staff.
Could you imagine what Washington could have gotten for RG3, like three quarters into his rookie season? By the way, I mean, if you want to talk about a draft
phenomenon,
oh my goodness! And then, you know, he tears the ACL, and then it all goes kaput on him. But I mean, he was being talked, I'll never forget Wilbon on PTI calling him the best player in the NFL about halfway through his rookie season. Now, you may not agree with that, and that may be a lot of hype, whatever, but he was in the conversation, having that kind of season, MVP-type season as a rookie in the league. So it looked good for Washington at the outset. Today's question of the day, is the Titans-Rams draft pick trade a positive or a negative for the Jaguars? Why or why not? Tony, what do we get on Twitter?
Here's what we got from Irish Jaguar. It's a positive. Two quarterbacks and one left tackle will go before the Jags pick, giving us a better choice. Plus, I have zero fear that the Titans will do anything worthwhile with those extra picks. From Eric, both really positive it's a good player will fall to his negative that Tennessee gets ammo to give
Ben Sitter.
From Matt, huge positive, guarantees a quarterback going in top four now, can't worry about Titans getting better, or at least you don't have to choose to, Matt. From Cristiano, positive, better chance of getting their guy, plus elite prospects out of Titans' reach. From Black Dog, Titans cleaned up, bad news for the rest of the AFC South. From Simon, negative, Titans have like six picks in the top 75 now, the only positive, they're still coached by Malarkey. From Joey, huge positive, I trust the Titans will waste most of these picks and we get Jack or Ramsey. From Frank, positive. More offense goes top four. Titans trade out of top tier of prospects. Still Blake better than Mariota. And from Demetrius, positive. Worst case scenario would be if Cleveland bypasses a quarterback. Jags should have a choice of Jack or Bosa.
All right, let's see. I will go through the Facebook responses on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. Garrett said, positive for us in the first round. This trade likely sets the table for quarterback Tunsil. Who cares at four? Jaguars select Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, or Joey Bosa. I think they would care because they probably have a preference among those guys. But okay, but you say positive in the first round. Okay. Is it an overall positive? We'll mark that down as positive. This one from Kenneth, this might have been, who voted the half vote for each? Was it Kenneth? He might have done them. He just says, you got to play both sides here. It's good that in now there's a good chance one of the top three defensive players available. We should be able to get Ramsey, Jack, or Bosa, but bad because he never won a division rival accumulating that number of first and second round picks. So which is it? We'll give him a half vote each once again. Joe said positive. Quarterback is the likely first pick, pushing down the other top prospects, giving the Jags more options. Michael said positive as well. Ramsey or Jack should now be available at pick number five. Joshua, it's a negative in the long run. You never want to see a division rival loaded up with the top selections for any amount of years. It just adds to that draft day fear and anxiety. Now you have more chances to groan and throw beer bottles at your TV at your favorite spot on draft day. In the short term, shakes out in our favor. So, again, it's kind of a split vote there. It's a positive, Russell said, in the first round. Beyond that, I hope all the picks they make are busts. That's the thing. You got to weigh it out. A lot of people are saying that. It'd be easy to say short-term positive, long-term unsure. I say I vote negative because I don't want Tennessee. I'd rather have Tennessee take Laremy Tunsil. Even if the next three defensive players came off the board, I would rather have that than Tennessee having all that draft capital. And people say, you shouldn't worry about what Tennessee does. Well, I don't worry about if I were making that deal. If I were the Jags coming up from 15 and I believed in the quarterback, then I feel like I'm making my team better. The Rams don't care what Tennessee is going to do because they're not in their division. They're not, you know, they're not directly affecting them. But when you're just on the outside looking in, Ryan, I do care what Tennessee has. I don't want Tennessee to have the good players. I don't want Indy to have the good players. I don't want Houston to have the good players.
And it's a bit of an absurdity when last year in the offseason they go out and they get Parnell to play right tackle. Why? Why is right tackle important in the AFC South? Because J.J. Watt plays in the division, and you have to play him twice. So if Tennessee's going to go out and get more opportunities to get good players, then you, as a team that plays them twice a year, have to react and respond to what they're doing. It doesn't mean that you plan everything that you do around what your divisional opponents are doing, but you do have to react to what the teams that you're going to be playing for six of your 16 games every year are doing. It's important.
And that's why you drafted Fowler, is you need somebody to get after Andrew Luck, Mariota, and whoever the hell was playing quarterback for Houston at that time was. So, I mean, the first year, because I would ask Dave and Gus this, are you looking at the division in terms of getting your team built? And they said initially, no, they just needed people. Once you get people in place, you can fine-tune your pick and say, okay, pick that guy. He's probably the best player available, but he also helps us against these three teams.
Yep, I agree with you there. And then finally, here's one from Daniel, who must be a fan of Terrence. He said, it's obviously great for the Jags. Roberto Aguayo will now be there available at number five.
Right. So,
Terrence?
Right.
Terrence?
Right.
Come on, Terrence. He's thinking, is there a way, could we get Roberto Aguayo and some other oddball selection now? Maybe we could have traded down with the Rams, gotten Aguayo at 15. It would have been a much better bargain in Terrence's eyes.
I would love to see Tennessee take Aguayo at 15.
Oh, Terrence would lose his mind. Terrence would lose his mind. Everybody else would be dancing in the streets.
Take Gene Smith off the hook.
Terrence would lose his mind. You would. You would take Gene Smith partially off the hook with that one as the worst pick we've seen in recent memory. What if Aguayo turns into Sebastian Janikowski and he's around? I mean, you could argue they're probably going to be, as Tony said, 50-50 in the first round or the top 10. There's probably going to be a lot of busts in the first round. I don't think I wouldn't take Aguayo in the first several rounds, but with the extra point being lengthened and all that, I can understand the importance of the position, Ryan. And chances are, if you took him late in the first round, he's probably going to have a better career than some of the guys that go around there. It's just that how can't you can find a kicker that can impact you.
Well, the team that takes him, regardless of round, is going to be a team that was in the playoffs last year or close to it. Had some kicking woes. Like
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Okay, and like late second, if he's there, because Pittsburgh probably – I'm sure they have some compensatory picks, but it's got to be a team that has a GM and coach that can sit at that table 10 minutes later and say, this is why we did it. You know why we did this.
You know we're close. Right. Yeah. I'm with you. All right. There he goes. Ryan O'Hallen, what do you have coming up over the next few days?
We got schedule analysis in tomorrow's paper. Maybe some of the reaction to this trade. And then next Tuesday, we start our position preview series for the draft. And then one more plug in Sunday. I'll have a look at the Jaguars offseason program, which starts Monday. And what are some of the objectives for this coaching staff? What do they want to accomplish the next 2 months?
That seems like a lot coming up in the next few days.
We're going to be busy.
All right. Ryan O'Halloran, ladies and gentlemen, for the Florida Times Union. Give him a follow on Twitter if you don't already, at Ryan O'Halloran. And tomorrow, Tony, we'll analyze the schedule, which comes out tonight. We thought that would be the big NFL news of the week. That didn't turn out to be the case.
We didn't even get to that.
No, we did barely touch. I barely acknowledge it, but that'll happen tonight. So we'll discuss that tomorrow when David Garrard joins us here. For Fat Tony, for Ryan O'Halloran, for Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey. Signing off for Jaguars today. XL Primetime is next on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.